very quickly, well, I'll do it later in a minute. I'll just read a verse for you from Isaiah chapter 61. I'll read it in the first person plural because it speaks to all of us rather than just one person. So. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon us because the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Word of prayer. Anyway. Lord God, we thank you for the work Christians Against Poverty to date. We thank you for the people that have given up their time and effort to go and help others who are less fortunate than themselves. We ask that you'd be with Nicola and the team now as they come to speak to us, and that we'd be able to listen to what you say through them. Amen.
Amen.
One last time. Christians Against Poverty aims to serve the poor, save the lost, with the church, across the nation. I now declare the CAP extravaganza well and truly open.
Extravaganza. It's always lovely to be invited to speak at a church. It's always a surprise to be invited back. This is the third time, I think. I was trying to reflect back. I think it's the third time I've been to West Glasgow New Church, and I've always been so thankful for the warm reception and just the ease with which our family has been welcomed. So thank you for having us. We're entering a new season in our CAP Debt Centre. And what I thought I would do today is reflect a little bit on where we've been, where we are, and where we are going. You'll be pleased to hear it's not just me speaking today, but actually I'll be handing over quite shortly, and you'll be hearing from one of our other members of staff and a former client whose story is amazing, and he's now a member of our core team, so we're really thankful to have Ben and David here today. So if we can... Oh, I'm in charge of this, aren't I? Which button is it? Is it the red one? The wee arrow. I might let you do it. So the Glasgow West Debt Centre has been it's been running for 6 years. It was started 6 years ago by a really good guy called James Rennick, a real motivator, a real fire starter. And I remember it being launched in our church, and I remember saying to my husband, I want that job. I was so excited by the prospect of simultaneously delivering a really practical service, but also getting to take Jesus into people's houses. So I volunteered with James for a wee bit, and I was out with him on a visit one day, and he kind of mentioned that he and Jilly were moving to Northern Ireland. He'd been offered the position as a pastor in another church. So I was very polite. I asked all the polite questions first. Where are you going? What are you doing? How long will you be there? Are you excited? Who's getting your job? And he turned around and he said, I think you should. So far be it for me to turn down such a polite offer. So I took over the debt centre just 5 years ago this month. And actually I'll be stopping very soon, which for reasons which I think are obvious when I step away from the podium. And it's been a real journey. I think the times that I've been here, I have communicated that at times it's been an absolute joy. And at times it's been just really difficult, really lonely, really frustrating. Glasgow's really territorial, and for us to become, to be seen as a reliable, a legitimate, a viable option for people who are struggling with debt, both with clients and with service providers, other service providers, it's been a real struggle. One of the most frustrating struggles was that people didn't like us because our promotional materials were green, and those are Celtic colours. It's taken 4 years of persuading head office, but they've changed our promotional materials now, and they're now purple, which is a good colour. Okay. So here are some of my reflections on my time as CAP Debt Centre Manager. I thought I would tell you a few memorable moments. One of them was just yesterday, so that's really exciting. I'm not really a person for targets. I'm not really a person for key point indicators. I'm a bit of an airy-fairy creative. But for the first time in the history of our debt centre, we're running at 150% capacity, which is very exciting. We have had 17 people over the 3 years of this 5 years that I've been in post go debt free, the most recent of which was yesterday. And I might have danced in my kitchen. It doesn't sound like a lot for 5 years' work, but actually the whole business of paying off your debt is a marathon and not a sprint. It took a wee while for me to get the clip of that one. But we celebrate with each and every one of our clients who is debt-free. And we have, and you'll like this one, out of all of the debt centres in every centre network across the whole of the UK, the highest number of naked clients that anyone has ever had. Glasgow West Debt Centre, 2 naked clients. The rest of the debt centre, so all over the UK, none. I don't know. Not really sure what it is about Glasgow. But thankfully I have a strong constitution and I'm able to deal with such glorious surprises. Both of those people are now debt-free, so obviously it wasn't all bad. So where we were, if we can change the slide, thank you. We put together a wee core group of people to kind of help spearhead the centre. And it's interesting, the verse that Ian chose, that serving the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And this was really why I wanted the job in the first place. And this is why I love the ethos of CAP and what we get to do. Because we are helping people who are really struggling with poverty in lots of different ways. Sometimes their poverty is loneliness. Sometimes their poverty is disconnection. Sometimes their poverty is that their life has fallen apart and they are properly brokenhearted. Sometimes, every time, their poverty is financial. And we work with a broad demographic. Most of our clients at the moment are based in Maryhill, but we have a significant number of clients in Bearsden and Mulgay, which I think I maybe told you about clients before that had BMWs in their car in their driveway, and the tea was served on a nice platter, and it was a lovely house, but they had £100,000 shortfall on their mortgage, and the husband had been made redundant and had not been able to tell his wife, and she was living the life to which they had been accustomed and really wasn't aware of the underlying circumstances. So that's really what our ethos is and what has underpinned our centre for the last 10 years. And we believed as a core team that what God was saying to us was that our CAP debt centre could be a vehicle for revival, that as we went into people's houses, bringing solution, bringing compassion, bringing non-judgment, often bringing food and money to top up electricity cards and fuel cards, that there was potential there for us to be a vehicle for revival. I know that revival means different things to different people. For me, it was just bringing light into dark places, or hopefully bringing light into dark places. And hope really has been a word that's underpinned my journey as the debt centre manager over the time. If we can change the slide, thank you. 3 years ago, what we believed God was saying to us was that we were going to be an agency that helped to transform community and culture. And the verse that came along with that was, then the Lord said to me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. And that really was about, in the first instance, bringing together a vision of what we wanted to achieve as a centre. Our centre, our demographic has grown, so initially we were working in White Inch and Partick in Bearsden. We've now got clients as far afield as, in our debt centre, Rakesi, Maryhill, Bearsden, Mulgay. We've got a couple of clients in the Highland right now. We've got one in Helensburgh. We've got one in Dumbarton. We've got a long way to run for 2 days a week. But also casting the vision to churches who have become partner churches, who have become friends. We now have a core group of people from different churches across our geographical location who meet together to pray, to build Christmas hampers, to come on visits. So we're casting our vision. We're letting people know what it is so they can get involved and they can hopefully be enthused by it. And that's really working. The transformation of community and culture thing's been really good fun as well. And as we reflected on that, we felt that getting people out of debt was one thing, but possibly helping them to not get into it in the first place might be quite helpful as well. And to that end, we started fundraising for a CAP community worker, who you'll hear from very shortly. And Ben uses materials and adapts the CAP Money course to take budgeting advice into primary schools, secondary schools, community groups, youth fellowships, churches, residential rehab, anywhere really where people could do with financial advice. Over the last years, one of our key remits has been helping people to transition from benefits to universal credit. And you only have to look at the news a little bit to understand that it's not been a smooth transition. So folks who are used to receiving their money every 2 weeks in their bank account now have to learn how to stretch it out for a month, a calendar month, so that may be 4 or 5 weeks, and that's a big deal for them. So if we can help people learn to manage their money in the first place, then maybe they just wouldn't get into debt. It's quite often the case with agencies like ours that if we're doing our job properly, then we'll all be unemployed very soon. So that would be it. Part of the transformation of community and culture was actually winning over some of the housing associations that had originally closed their doors to us. So we have very close associations now with several housing associations. Many of them run at having perhaps 33 to 40% of their tenants in rent arrears. So if we can help their clients to pay off their arrears and the clients become debt free and we do what we say on the tin, then surely everyone's a winner. And it's taken 5 years, but finally people are hearing us. And we've been given access into housing associations. We've been given access into job centres to help folk figure out what to do with their money once they get a job. We've had some fun in the Sheriff Court as well. Over the course of 5 years, our debt centre has managed to halt 4 evictions, which has been terrifying and very satisfying in equal measure. The slimmest margin was one where we were able to get the paperwork in place with 15 minutes to spare. And the lady in question is still in her home. She's debt-free. She got a job. We provided her with money for her job interview, and she's been promoted internally 5 times, even in the space of 3 years. So we really are seeing lives transformed. So we can move on to the next slide. I love this. As someone from Northern Ireland, shut your mouth is something that I would have got really shouted at for when I was little, and something that we would certainly not let the boys say now. But I just love this verse about injustice shutting its mouth, about people having hope. And as I said before, that kind of really underpins what we do as a debt centre, that we want people to have hope. We don't want people to give up. Out of all of the clients we've seen go debt-free, we've probably had almost equal amount fall off the edges. People who've stopped answering their phones and people who've stopped answering their doors because they know they need the help, but they're perhaps just not in the place right now to do anything about it. And we can give them as much support as we can, but they need to do their part of the bargain as well. Some people we've gone to and they've had no hope. The couple in Mulgay that I was telling you about with the BMWs, they thought their marriage was over. They were sitting at opposite ends of the sofa. She was weeping. He was absolutely mortified that he had brought this upon them. We sat down, we talked, we came up with a plan. We looked at what it would be like to work together. And I got a text from her not long afterwards saying, we don't just have hope for our finances, but for the first time in years, we have hope for our marriage. And they're still together. So that's just wonderful as well. I would go into the Standing for Righteousness in a Corrupt Generation, but that would take me down the road of politics, and I don't think anyone needs that this morning. If we change the slide, this is kind of where we're at today. So we had a church vision day a couple of months ago. It was really tricky because I knew at the time that I was pregnant, but I hadn't told anyone. So I was trying to walk through the day with a little bit of integrity, thinking about how we could look at the sustainability of the centre, look at how we could expand the role, expand our vision, but knowing that I wasn't going to be the person to do it. And this is the verse, and this is the word foundation kept coming up as people were praying over the centre and we were reflecting on what God was saying about it. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. And what we felt was that the 5 years that have preceded, and six including James, have really been digging foundations. It's been the mucky work of getting in the places, getting people to listen, cold calling, knocking at people's doors, housing associations, job centres, the DWP. We've recently got some GP practices on board as well, and they're referring folk to us as well. But that hasn't come easy. And what we all feel as a core group is that God has been digging foundations over the last five years. And I feel actually really excited and really hopeful that whoever comes on to take over from me will be the person to pass the baton on. And they are going to see the centre flourish in ways that we can't even ask or imagine. I'm really excited about the future of the centre and would encourage you to, as a church and as individuals, to stay closely involved, because CAP nationwide is expanding for the first time in our 20-year history. We have a Scottish base. People are taking us seriously. There's been tensions over the years as well about just when you work locally for a national organisation, how to put national targets in a local context. And dialogue is opening up. There's an awful lot of hope. They've changed our promotional material. We're recording our key point indicators in a different way. We have people here so that we have a Scottish address and a Scottish phone number, and that's making local agencies sit up and take notice. We are getting referrals left, right and centre from people that we don't even know how they know about us. For the first time in 5 years, we have a real strong team. So Ian Henderson has been working with us as our Community Links Coordinator for a wee while. Alan Grant and Jim have both been really involved with us for a number of years as well. We're seeing folk from other local churches coming on board and sharing the load. And for me, that was my dream in the first place. I kind of thought, we're just a wee church in White Inch, what can we do? And with one member of staff, we're just ever so limited. But God's just been placing the right people all around us. And when I think about how we're moving forward, I see us as a bit of a spider plant, with perhaps the charity being based out of White Inch Church of Scotland, but all these lovely wee hubs joining in so that we can reach more people over more of Scotland. And I'm really, really excited about that. So as I move on and the next person moves in, the word that I feel really symbolises this new season is potential. I think that the potential is huge. I don't know who is going to carry that potential. We did appoint someone on Tuesday and then they said no thank you. So we're in a different position today than I thought we would have been. So we'll be reapplying. So if anyone feels... I think we've probably done with the naked clients, so you're probably safe. I would just strongly encourage you to keep a wee eye on the centre and to keep supporting us as a church, because you've been so faithful and it's meant so much to me and it's meant so much to our team as well. What I'm going to do now is pass you on to Ben. Ben is our CAP community education worker. And he's going to tell you, I know the theme today is about God and suffering. Ben's going to tell you a little bit about his work with some folks in residential rehab. And then Ben will pass on to David, and David will tell you his story. Thank you.
Hi. So I'm Ben. I've had the pleasure of working with White Inch Transformation as a money coach since May. I also work for a mission order called Inner Change in Postal Park. And some of you may have heard of that. So we work across the world with poor and marginalised communities, and we live and work in our community, Apostle Park. And the work that I do with CAP really complements what I do with Inner Change in terms of working with people who are very marginalised and left out and who society seems to have forgotten. And as we work alongside people who are poor and marginalised, we are bringing something of Jesus and his presence and his hope to those we come alongside. And this is what I think CAP does really well in terms of being that presence and showing people that this is something of who God's kingdom is, of who Jesus is. This is the Emmanuel, this is the God with us, who really cares about each of us. Nicola thought it would be helpful for me to kind of share a bit about my experience in working in a rehab unit. And in doing so, you'll hear that the work of CAP is not always flashy and glamorous, but also messy and hard. And that experience resonates with my time in Postle Park, and I'll be kind of sharing about that experience now and also what maybe we can learn for each of us. So working with people who are marginalized can be challenging and messy. And we sometimes kind of romanticize working with the poor and can overlook kind of the messy reality that can often entail. And so people with addictions to things like gambling, alcohol, cocaine, heroin, frequently have chaotic lives. And their lives are very rooted in here and now. Well, rooted probably would be too strong a word. They're just chaotic in the here and now. And saving for their pension is probably not on their agenda. Saving for Christmas is probably not on their agenda. And there's a lot of stigma about addictions. People with addictions can experience kind of feeling looked down upon, they're struggling to get a job. They're facing multiple disappointments from people. And suppose when I went in, I probably had didn't have much street credit, kind of going in as quite a well-educated person. So it's pretty hard, quite hard for them to connect with me. And I faced quite a difficult time with people there. So I worked with 8 individuals in this rehab centre over a few months. And we looked at the usual parts of the money course. So I teach the money course, which is a 3-week course about budgeting. And a common concern I heard was, how do I budget? I don't have any money. And I've heard that in my time in Postle Park too. It's a common idea that people can have. How can you budget when you only have £25 to live on a week? But I thought, well, you do have money, so that doesn't let you off the hook completely. So I'd hope to kind of come in and give them tools to take away for when they left their rehab unit. But they really kind of were a bit stuck. They couldn't really get that they could budget and they could manage their money. They were going through an addictions program, which was evidently a difficult time for them. And that meant things like their cigarettes, coffee, snacks were important to them. I thought cigarettes are luxuries. Trying to differentiate what's a need and what's a want. You know, I'm on a completely different playing field to them. No, you can't take away my cigarettes. So the idea of putting money aside for longer term priorities is just like an alien idea. At times they were rude, and that wasn't easy always to deal with. Like, I told them I didn't have a TV, and they were like, "You as harsh dad. How can you not have a TV? You're such a harsh dad." And I was like, well, my son watches Postman Pat occasionally, but... So the idea of having to pay for a TV license was really kind of, well, we don't have to do it. I'm like, well, yeah, you do. I set aside additional time for them to kind of come in and budget, and not one person turned up. And at the end of the kind of few sessions, they were feeling like, what is the point of this? I was feeling, oh my goodness, what is the point of this? I kind of felt a bit of dread and despair. So how do you kind of work with people on the margins when people don't have much control in their lives, when people are forgotten by society? We really live in a society which favours the hardworking. This is a government rhetoric that drives me mad. People who are independent achievers. And as someone with a PhD, I'm an achiever. I like to get things done. And I wonder, what of our own values do we need to let Jesus challenge and shape? And I guess as I've just been sitting there, I was just thinking about posture and kind of what posture did I go in as? And I think it's quite easy as people in more professionalized roles to go into things with a posture of, I'm here, I'm the expert, I can give you some help. I can give you the budgeting tools to kind of help you sort your life out. And that kind of creates this kind of dynamic where we're like, I'm the expert, you're kind of there. And I think we can even talk about that when we talk about the poor. We're kind of talk about working with the poor, working with the marginalized. We can really create a kind of dichotomy, a kind of split between you're the poor, I'm not. And I wonder if there's something of Jesus that teaches us, what is the poverty within our own hearts? And I kind of appreciate Nicola referred to, poverty isn't just financial. We can kind of say that we're sinners, but I'm not sure we always really believe that we are. Not the way we act or the way we live. And I kind of just wonder, I'm kind of wanting you to encourage you just to kind of reflect on what poverty do you have in your life? What relational poverty do you have? Kind of the arguments that I have with my wife, you know, they're kind of about things that I want and kind of when my focus isn't right. And that is a desperate form of poverty that I want Jesus to come and help me shift. When I just kind of nag at my son, and he kind of like he's 2.5, and he doesn't want to be nagged, he just wanted to have another Haribo sweet today. And I was like, no, you're just having one. And I was like, no, 2, Daddy, 3, Daddy. Just like, man. But like, what does that reveal about my own internal poverty? And I just wonder if we can see the internal poverty and realize how much God loves us and how much God wants to bring us freedom, then maybe that will help us to relate to those around us in our society who kind of feel forgotten, who are on the margins. Jesus said that he wants to come and bring us life in all its fullness. And my prayer is that each of us walk in the resurrection hope and life that Christ has for us. So now I think David is going to come and share a bit of his story.
Okay. Thank you, Ben, for your story. As Nicola said, the work of CAP, although the centre is based in White Inch Church, takes in lots of areas of Glasgow. So just to let you know, it also includes Kelvindale, because that's where I come from, just 5 minutes down the road. And to tell you how CAP doesn't just save people from poverty, it actually saves people's lives, is that it saved my life. If it hadn't been for CAP, I can honestly say I wouldn't be standing here today. And I've heard that recently also from a client that I was on a CAP visit to as well. His words were, he didn't realise how hard it was to find an artery with a scalpel. So that brings it right down to earth, that it is life and death for some people. Now, my story begins several years ago when I had my own business. And due to health problems, in the space of 3 months, I lost my mother, who I was caring for, I lost my business, I lost my partner, I lost my health, and I lost my home. And I was homeless for a week. And I can honestly say that was the worst week of my life. But I picked myself up from that, because in those days, I didn't even know there was such a thing as CAP. And then several years later, I managed to pick myself up, work myself through, start with nothing, and retrain, and begin again. And then about 3 years ago, my health took another bad turn, and I had to switch from having an income to having no income. And it was just at the start of universal credit. And the way it works is really cruel for claimants. You're given, once you apply, you have to wait 6 weeks before you get a penny. And the money you get after 6 weeks as they do you for the next calendar month. So to get you through that first 6 weeks, you have to apply for a loan. So once you get the loan, and after you get your 6 week first payment, you have to budget for the month ahead. You have to pay the debts that you've incurred over that 6 weeks, and you have to pay back the loan. So every step of the way, you face hurdles and obstacles. And I was at the point of throwing myself off a bridge. Actually, was on the phone to an agency, asking them what to do, where should I go? And the lady, although she was helpful, she couldn't offer any help. And I remember saying to her, what's the point? There isn't any point. How can I go to bed at night thinking tomorrow's going to be any better when I know that tomorrow isn't going to be any better? And to show you how God worked to bring Cap to me and to me to Christians Against Poverty, I now look upon it as a miracle. I'd went to my doctors to get my prescriptions. And my doctor was very helpful. She listened to me and she gave me my prescriptions for the month. And when I got home, I realized that she had missed one of the prescriptions. So I phoned the surgery and I was put through to a different doctor. And instead of just saying, no problem, I'll write that prescription out for you, come and collect it, she said, what is your problem? What is your difficulty? And for 5 minutes she listened to me and then she said, I know of someone who can help you. And she gave me the phone number for CAP. And to show you how CAP is now known throughout local communities, it so happened that the doctor, her daughter, went to the same school that Nicola's boys go to. And she knew about CAP. And I phoned, and Nicola came to the house. And the first thing she said to me was, you're not alone. And at the end of the first visit, she said, can I pray for you? And I said, yes. And to just know that someone is praying for you and that you're not alone is very important. And it was very important to me because from that moment I realized that there was hope. There was an opportunity to get my life back, that there was something to live for. And she also said that not only are we praying for you here today, that there are lots of other people in our church and other churches who are praying for you as well. And that feeling of loneliness, of isolation, is very, very life-threatening and accompanies poverty. Just like mental health has a stigma, poverty, being in debt, also has a stigma. You want to hide your problems. You don't want to talk to people about them. And that makes you more isolated. And just to give you an example of how poverty affected, not just me, but going on visits to other clients, is that you stop answering your phone because you know it'll be sheriff officers on the other end of the phone. You dread the postman coming. You don't open your mail. You put it in a drawer or in a black bag. You don't answer your door because you know it's someone looking for money. And that makes you more isolated. Perhaps your only friend in the world has phoned you to ask you how you're doing. Perhaps have dropped by to see how you're doing, to offer you hope. But because you're living in fear, you don't answer that phone. You don't open that door. And that makes your situation even worse. But I'm now debt free. It took time. I couldn't have done it myself. And I'm thankful for CAP. But CAP didn't just lead me into a new life. It brought me back to the church. As I said before, when my business failed, when my health failed, I did go to church. I did seek help. But it was one of those old-fashioned churches who were only interested in maintaining the church as it was. They weren't interested in the community. They weren't interested in the congregation. And I felt as if I'd been turned away. But this time, I went to church and I walked in and it was completely different. It was very much like this church. I've been here a few times when I couldn't face the walk to White Inch. And it's exactly the same. It's not like going into a church. It's like coming home to a family. Everyone is there to help you. Everyone asks you how you're doing. And I noticed in your notice sheet for today, it said, thanksgiving and trusting in God. Now, I'd like to tell you a little anecdote which occurred to me several years ago about trust. I was sitting in a coffee shop on a Saturday morning before starting my clinic. And the coffee shop was empty. And into the coffee shop came a man with a young girl who must have been about 6 or 7 at most. And they happened to sit down in the table next to me. And I'm not usually eavesdropping or nosy about what people are talking about. But the wee girl said to, I take it was her father, "Have you collected your suit from the cleaners?" And he said, "Yes." And she said, "That's good. I can score that off your to-do list." Now, I thought that was really good, that a grown man had trusted his to-do list to his 6-year-old daughter. And in a way, I would ask you, who do you trust? Maybe your partner, maybe your parents, maybe your siblings, or part of your family, or your best friend. But the person that you can truly trust and place your trust in is God. Because trust in God is more important than anything else. So I'd just like to thank you for listening to my story. Thank Christians Against Poverty for helping me and the clients over the years. And to know that the work that you do, the support that you give CAP, is appreciated by every single client that you help. Thank you.